Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Are you an early bird or are you a night owl? And does that affect when you exercise? Well, for many of us, the time of day that we work out comes to our schedules and our preference. But are we missing a trick? Is there a better time to train that could perhaps lead to better results? Carl Henry is a personal trainer and he's here. Hi, Carl.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. There's been a lot of talk about this.
There has. Yeah, New York Times, big article, big spread. Train in the evening and you're going to lose more weight.
Yes.
That was the tagline.
Based on a study that was done in Australia, I think.
Bit a big group of people, which said that if you train, you'll lose more weight by training in the evening time. For that group, the one thing in the article they didn't say was that by training in the evening time, chances are you're not eating in the evening time. So there's a calorie deficit, a greater deficit, because that's the time so many people snack.
It's a risk time, isn't it?
It is. Kids go to bed, really busy day, on the couch, watching something on the telly,
the bag of
something comes out, or whatever your thing is, it comes out. And like, they can be really densely calorific. So by having exercise in the evening, you're less likely to eat those snacks. There's a greater calorie deficit, and by default, you lose more weight. But the reality is, it's down to you as a person. It's matching whether your circadian rhythm with life. So if you are a morning person, train in the morning. That's great for you. Yes, you'll get a metabolic burn all day long. You'll get chancer, you'll eat better because you've exercised. We generally do when we move. It's part of the whole jigsaw of health. You eat a little bit better. And it's done in case life gets really busy or something gets in the way. And that's the morning. They're the pros for the morning thing. From a science perspective, you will read bits, but you're great if you're Usain Bolt or a pro athlete or, you know, one of the Irish relay team or something. But for the general population, you match it to your personality. If you're a morning person, get it done early.
And your schedule, you know, when you can fit it in.
Like, for so many people, just stuff gets in the way as the day goes on and your energy levels begin to reduce and reduce. And the evening, for a lot of people, just doesn't happen for that reason. So the morning works really well. If it's 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, great.
Yeah.
For some people, it's the afternoon.
So, well, what about the afternoon? Because, you know, a lot of people will have that energy slump coming into the evening. Is that a good way to counteract it if you get some exercise in?
Yeah, it'll knock the energy slump on its head. So what'll happen is you'll get more energy. So to get more energy, you have to produce more energy. You have to move more. Because the more sedentary we are, the more sleepy we get.
Yeah.
So that helps you to avoid the afternoon slump. And again, it kicks into eating better later on in the day. And in all fairness to the article, it was really balanced. The interviewer, Arnold Schwarzenegger, at the end, he said, well, I'm going to train when I like to train. And like, you know, it's good enough for Ernie. It's good enough for the rest
with
of us.
With a cigar in my mouth.
Well, yeah. But like, it was balanced, which basically said that, look, yes, there is some science to support this data that you will lose a little bit more weight. But the reality is, if you're not an evening person from an exercise perspective, or if you find it throws your sleep, which for a lot of people it does, train earlier in the day. Match it to your personality, match it to your schedule. Every step you take, every weight you lift, every little bit of sport you do, is one more step towards health and wellness, regardless of what time you do it at.
What is your experience with clients when it comes to sleep disruption if you're exercising late? Does it really have an impact on your sleep?
It can. It's pretty one in two. Yeah, it's like anything. Some people will be able to switch off from the day. Like I exercised last night at about 8:30. I think I got to sleep at midnight. Generally, I can't sleep after exercise.
Any kind of exercise, doesn't matter whether it's a run or a swim or weights.
Swim, doesn't really matter. Regardless of how tired I am, I'll come home, I bound in the door full of energy and it'll take about 2 hours for me to unwind. I have clients who don't have that issue. They can go to bed straight after an exercise session. So it depends on how you react to it. For me, I don't like training in the morning. Afternoon's kind of my slot, or early in the evening. And if I do train in the morning, I surround myself with a group of people, like a master swim session, where there's a coach yelling at me for an hour, which is great because you don't even have to think about it. And it's where kind of, you know, online workouts come into it or PTs come into it. Someone tells you what to do. You're kind of in automatic mode in the morning and just follow the leader.
For the people who maybe aren't morning people, that works. I'm just intrigued by what you say. You know, if you exercise, you're more likely to eat better afterwards.
Yeah.
Is that really true? Do we not treat ourselves after we've
exercised? I don't think people do. I think that endorphin rush, the serotonin effect and the stress-busting effect of movement ties into eating and making better choices. A lot of the time, if you're in the afternoon slump and you go get a coffee, it's going to come with something.
Yeah, or it has to.
Evening time, of course. Kids go to bed, you're exhausted. If you're sitting on the couch, chances are, if it's in the fridge or in the kitchen, you're going to go for it and you're going to have it. Or you go for the glass of wine. If it's midweek onwards, it could be more than a glass. And they're all kind of just calories that they add up over the course of time and over the course of the week. And that's where they're saying that if you are exercising, you do make better choices, generally. you make better choices because you feel
afterwards.
Better.
Okay.
And you think, I've done all the work. Am I really going to go and have, you know, 5 bars of chocolate
Listen,
or whatever?
Listen, I promised at the start of the programme that we'd ask you how to get the best bang for your fitness buck.
Yes.
So people who are time poor and they're looking for a little slot in the day, half an hour, 40 minutes, what do you do?
Could be 5 minutes. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So there's two things you do. One, you make micro choices that are better. So you use the stairs. You get off the bus or the train one stop earlier. You park further away. You lift more stuff. You stand more. Those little micro choices, they all add up. And then from an exercise perspective, which has to be more intense, so it's not movement, you're slightly out of breath, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it could be 3 5-minute slots, it could be an hour. What does your schedule allow? And don't do what so many people do, which is they do too much. And then they burn out, and then they feel guilty for burning out and not getting the results they wanted long term because they can't absorb it into their life or into their schedule. And we see that time and time and time again. And we pull people back from exercise a little bit so that it fits in their schedule long term and they're not burning out.
But you want people to feel a little bit sore the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Burnout can be linked with that. You know, I'm just too sore. I can't do a session today.
Yeah, it can be. So burnout is if it's an easy session or a session you normally do where you have no impact and all of a sudden you're sore during it or sore after it. Okay, go home. Go sit on the couch and have the chocolate because you are burning out. The recovery's not there. Generally, you should be a little bit sore after the workout. That's very normal. Might be a day, might be 2 days. And that's progression because we need to challenge the body to move more and to strengthen. And that soreness effect, that's telling you that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. So it is normal. If it happens after an easy session or during a session, that's burnout. It's a very different thing to, we nearly do a whole segment on burnout. Like it's a very different thing to that normal muscular soreness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Resistance training then. I know you're a big fan of resistance training, but for people who, you know, feel very discombobulated by that and just think, I don't know the first thing about it. How do you get started on it?
Okay, first thing is to say, it's the number one way to slow down the impact of aging. That should grab people's attention, hopefully, because it is. We weaken as we get older, we lose our muscle mass and we age faster. So resistance training is any form of weight-bearing exercise. We're all a weight. A squat, a press-up, using the stairs, all weight-bearing movement. Standing is weight-bearing movement. Getting up and down out of your chair 20 times is a squat. A lunge is basically a genuflection. They're all really easy to do. They don't have to be hard and scary.
You don't have to go out and buy dumbbells, certainly not at the beginning.
You can if you want to, but you don't have to. Like a lot of clients we train virtually, which is still big business for us, they could be in hotel rooms anywhere in the world and they have nothing. So we use like the chair, the bed, the floor. We do body weight workouts and they could be equally as hard as lifting weights or joining a gym. You don't have to. But if you are scared, surround yourself with a community of people who can help you do that, like a local class or something like that, or even do one session in the gym to learn the basics and then go off and do yourself. It isn't as scary as you think it is. And it's going to keep you younger, healthier, fitter as you get older than anything else we know exists.
You're buying yourself some time.
Absolutely you are. And we're all aging. We all get older.
Listen, I wanted to ask you, Carl, about Operation Transformation. Yep. You were involved right from the very start. One of the faces that was there the whole way through. It's not going to run again. Mm-hmm. Do you think the message around obesity and overweight has changed a lot? Or what do you feel about the end of the programme?
I have two feelings. One is pride. 18 years as kind of the forefront of health messaging across the country. No show has ever done those kind of numbers. I have 1 in 4 share, so 25% share plus. It ended on a high. I knew 6 weeks before the press release went out that it wasn't coming back. Mm-hmm. It's important to say that because it got caught up a little bit in other messaging. And then I'm sad in one regard, not with regards to the show whatsoever. I'm sad from a societal perspective. I think the messaging around severe obesity and overweight for the solutions for that have been totally misrepresented. So a lot of the content that came out said, oh, you know, if you're overweight, movement and exercise and eating better does nothing for you. That's a lie. And anyone who says that is lying. It's not true.
We've heard a lot about this and we've spoken a lot to Donal O'Shea, the HSE lead on all of this. And he says that overweight and obesity is a disease.
Yep.
And once you get to a certain point, you will need a medical intervention.
Absolutely. Yep.
So you agree with that?
Oh, to a certain point. So severe obesity, it's surgery and medication. Absolutely it is. Overweight, it's not. By creating that calorie deficit for overweight, which is a huge percentage of the population, they can get healthier, they can get stronger, they can maintain their weight as they get older, which is healthier, or they can lose a little bit of weight, and that's healthier. Extreme diets don't work, and they don't, and I'd be the first to say they don't.
Yeah.
But the overweight population have so much to gain. We all do by being stronger and fitter. That's important. Those who have the disease of extreme obesity, they do need the professional help of the clinics, like Donal and the clinic in Galway as well. And surgery is the option. Medication is the option. They can still get fitter and stronger by doing a squat, by walking. So there's a strength component to it.
So you feel that message got lost in the accusations that Operation Transformation was fat shaming?
I read it. I don't feel that I read it. I saw it and decided not to jump on my soapbox. It's not really my way. You know me long enough. But in the same boat, from a societal perspective, there are people with no qualifications. There are people with very few qualifications who are singing from the rooftops about don't know your weight. It's not important. Nonsense. It's crucial just to know it. And there's no guilt associated with being overweight. Like, stuff gets into life where you do eat more than you should. We've all done that. Everyone, that's normal. There's no guilt associated with that. And the triggering component to it, yeah, while I understand that, it's a very small percentage of the population. If you apply that to alcoholics, if you apply that to people with drug abuse, should we have no alcohol on our screens or talk about it on air anywhere or read it in the papers anywhere?
About reducing, about harm reduction.
Because it may trigger people to drink more. It's the same argument when you think about it. And I think that behind what we do and what I do on a daily basis, it's to teach people how to be healthier for life. And so, part of that is maintaining a weight, whether it's overweight or not.
So you were disappointed in the decision by RTE to stop doing Optrans?
They will bring something else that will be on screens, I'm sure. I think to be 18 years promoting health across the country is an honour. I was really honoured to. And I was 24 when I started. I'm 42 now. Like, that's unheard of as a spell on television. Where you got to promote real backed scientific data of what we can do. And probably the best series ever was the last one, Anne in Wexford. 55, osteoporosis, on a crutch, couldn't live.
All right, well, Carl, thank you so much for coming in. Good to see you. That's Carl Henry, personal trainer. Let's go to the newsroom and to Brian Jennings.